Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Kropp.
And welcome, everybody. Great to have you with us today. A little politics, actually a lot of politics with your coffee today as we get started. And boy, is there a lot to talk about today, especially this business of the storm that's coming. What storm am I talking about? No, it's not that hurricane that's going to hit Florida over Labor Day. No, no, no. It's the Democrat-induced political firestorm. And Governor Kate has finally broken her silence on the on hers and the retro-Bolsheviks that run the Oregon legislature, their death penalty nullification bill and the problem they've created for themselves. We're going to talk about that. They're also going to talk about this record kicker. What? Yeah, a record kicker. $1.6 billion. You see, the state's economy is so good that we continue to have record revenue into the state of Oregon. Now, there's the usual caveats here from the state economist who yesterday released this incredibly positive and good thing, this forecast. And the caveat is, well, you know, the Trump's trade war is going to make it slow down. So we need to be really careful here. Do you really think that any of my former colleagues in the House or the Senate are really going to listen to that? Yeah, not hardly. You know why? Because Republican or Democrat, they spend every penny that comes in the door. Republicans just pat themselves on the back because they grow government a little bit slower than the Democrats do. And occasionally they put a little money away for that rainy day, which they ought to be putting a lot of money away for that rainy day. So all of that leads to a couple of questions as we get through these topics today. And the third topic we'll get into today also is Donald Trump might be accelerating the building of the southern border wall. How would that impact Oregon? Well, I'm going to share that with you, my opinion about all of that. But also, as we do in this show, we give you, I pose interesting questions about these political issues of the day so that you can pose them to others and use them to be persuasive with people in your world that are persuadable. Not the hardcores on the right or the left, but the people who are persuadable. Those people that you can get them to thinking about these issues. For instance, on the kicker refund, you could ask this question. In a conversation with someone today, did you see that huge record kicker refund, $1.6 billion? Whose money is that? Did government create that money, or did you and I work for it, and government take it from us through the force of law? Yeah, I know it's paying taxes, but, you know, when government's got more money to operate than what they say they need, and the economy's doing well, and wages are going up, and we're all making money, shouldn't we get that money back? That's just a question that you could ask if you wanted to begin a conversation with someone and start talking at a deeper level about the whole principle here. Whose money is it? Who earned it? And should government just always have a blank check to just spend willy-nilly any way they want? Even more importantly, another question you could ask, and this is the sad question that people are expressing today, especially if you read, and all of this is in an Oregonian story that you can read if you go to OregonWatchdog.com. If you read the reader comments at the end of this Oregonian story, what you will see is there are a lot of cynicism there that, well, people who are watching this, who care about this issue, think that the Democrats will try to steal it. To take it from us, which they can do. They can suspend the Constitution. With enough votes in the House and the Senate, which they're not going to get from Republicans, but with enough votes, unless, of course, that Republican one or two people actually gets bought off, which would never happen, right? At any rate, They could suspend the constitutional requirement that they give us our money back, and they could use it. People think, if you read the reader comments, that they will try to steal it. What do you think? And I want to get into Kate's, her profound, breaking of her silence, shall we say. Yeah, no kidding. So Kate has been strangely silent as Steve Dean and he was the radical left columnist for the reliably leftist columnist, very cynical individual who occasionally hits the nail on the head. And I think he has here in going after especially Jennifer Williamson on this whole issue of the death penalty nullification bill, because that's really what the Democrats did here. Well, Kate Brown has been strangely silent, as noted by both Steve Dean and the Oregon editorial board. Remember how we talked about that the early part of the week? How the editorial board inadvertently, without knowing it, literally showed the way as to how this issue of the Democrats going around the will of the voters with the death penalty could be used against the Democrats in a campaign. They didn't intend for that, but they did it. Remember what I told you about emotionalizing issues? Nothing's more emotional than the fact that Kate's silence on this issue dismisses the pain of the families of the victims of these heinous murderers. How would you feel? Remember, again, the show's about helping give you tools to be able to engage people in your world in conversation and to make a difference, to persuade them. You ask that question. How would you feel if you were a family member, if it was your son, your daughter, your mother, your father that was murdered, and that person who did it was convicted and sentenced to death, and now the governor has found a way to go around the death penalty, which she suspended? That's how you talk about this. Well, so here's the deal, folks. The deal is that Kate Brown announced yesterday that she's prepared now to call a special session of the Oregon lawmakers to bring them back in September to fix the death penalty nullification bill. That's what I call it, and that's what it is, and that's what you should call it. Once again, Democrats going around the will of the voters, the ruling class, those arrogant people who don't care what you and I think. They don't care what we think about illegal alien driver's license, because they did that too. They don't care about the fact that we said we don't want a gross receipts tax because we know it's going to raise our cost of living. It's a sales tax. They did that too. And now they decided to go around the will of the voters on the death penalty. And they screwed it up. And you can use those words. They screwed up their death penalty nullification bill. So here's a couple of things to think about. Should Republicans, which would be needed to provide quorum, there's that word again, quorum for a special session, should they just say, no, you guys made your bed, now you get to lie in it? That's what should be going on here. Now, I think that that's a reasonable position to take. Because what Carl Wilson said in this article, again, if you want to go see it, you can go to OregonWatchdog.com, click on this article. Carl Wilson said, you know, why try to rush this? Why don't we really just talk about repealing it and then starting over? Now, he didn't say the start over part, but that's the natural consequence of what would probably happen there. So should Republicans just say no? We're not going to give you a quorum to come back in to fix your problem, your mess. You need to live with the consequences of this. Now, why would I say that? Because you would probably say, now, come on, Jeff, you were a former state legislator. You were a member of the House of Representatives for 8 years. You know, you got to govern. You got to do the right thing. You got to show up to work, right? That's what the Democrats said when Republican Senate left the state for 9 days. Well, yeah, no. Because there is a consequence for your actions. Believe me, folks, I have to tell you that there are many votes I took that I wish I could take back and vote differently. I'm quite serious. And this is one of them. Because what's been happening here, the reason Kate's been silent, I believe, in fact, you could take this to the bank, because it's what I would be doing if I were her or any of the Democrats. And it's what Republicans ought to be doing if they're not. Kate's silence all this time means that she has been polling the issue, because it's going to impact the recall effort, which by all knowledge, I guess, and understanding from what we know so far, is on track to get 400,000 signatures. They only need 288. We'll see if they get it. Then we're talking about the Oregon Republican Party recall effort. She knows that that's going on. She knows they're doing well. That's why she's raising money. And that's why I guarantee you that during the time she was silent, when this whole controversy erupted, she's been polling it to see what kind of damage it does to Democrats, to her also, but also her ideological agenda, the radical left Saul Alinsky-like agenda, which is exactly what the retro Bolsheviks that run the Oregon legislature have. It's what they believe. They've been polling to understand what is the damage this does to them in the upcoming elections. Now, if you don't think that's how politics works, you need to wake up, because that is how politics works. All this time that she's been quiet, hasn't said a word, for which she got hit by this Oregon, I'm telling you, that Oregon, the words of that Oregon editorial board editorial is profound and could be profoundly used against her in a recall campaign. But even more importantly, every Democrat that voted in favor of this death penalty nullification bill, every one of them, because it dismisses the incredible anguish and pain in the hearts of the families of these murderers, the victims of these murderers. That's what it does. Now, if Republicans were smart, they would be polling those words and those issues against what Kate would be saying, what Jennifer Williamson did say, what Floyd Prozanski did say. And if they did that, Republicans would see that this is probably a huge winner for them, which is why, if Republicans were smart, they would be polling it, and then it would come to a conclusion, this is a big winner, and why they should say to Kate, nope, we're not coming into a special session. Oh, and we're just going to conveniently be on vacation and be unavailable, Governor. Let him live with it. Let him live with the consequences of how this could be used in an emotional way to influence the hearts and minds of people. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. What do you think about all of this? I'm just curious. Who owns your tax money? Does the state own it? Do you lose ownership of it? The money you created? The money you earned? The state of Oregon wouldn't get if you didn't get out and get a job, right? Who owns that? If the law says that it needs to get paid back to you, like Oregon's Constitution says, do you expect that the politicians, the big spending politicians in Salem, are going to try to steal it in the February 2020 session? Or should we just be really happy and glad that Oregon's economy is doing so well? Because it is. It really is. And what about Kate Brown? What about Kate Brown now having figured out, putting her metaphorical finger in the wind to figure out what are the winds of the political, this particular political issue? How bad is it going to hurt Democrats? Having figured that out now, she's calling, I'd do a special session, yeah. Now, buried in the story, by the way, by Noel Crombie in the Oregonian and Hillary Baroud, is this little nugget that environmentalists are upset that Kate wouldn't consider the cap and tax scam in a special session. Don't buy this. Now, if she was smart, she would have polled that as part of her polling on this issue also, don't you think? I think I would. All of this is on the table today, folks. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Lots to talk about in your phone calls.
Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
You know, folks, there's a storm coming. No, I ain't talking about this supposed hurricane that might hit southern Florida over Labor Day. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the storm here in Oregon. Over a couple of issues, political issues going on out there, Governor Kate Brown has decided she's going to support special session to fix the mess she and her radical Bolsheviks, the retro Bolsheviks, have made on the death penalty issue. I'll tell you how that's going to come about. And the other storm that's about to hit is the call by Kate. You wait, this is going to happen, to steal your kicker refund. We're going to talk about all this today. Plus, Trump is accelerating the border wall construction. Even using eminent domain. How awful. How horrible, right? Well, let me tell you how this is going to affect us in Oregon being a sanctuary state. We'll get into all of that today. Your phone calls here on Political Coffee. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220 and emails to Jeff at 1220.am. 1220, Jeff at 1220.am. So there is a storm coming, folks, political storm. You know, the reason Kate has been silent on this whole business of, you know, trying to fix the Democrats' non-mistake, and I'm quite serious when I say it's a non-mistake. The blowback that they have gotten has been so severe. I mean, when you have incredibly liberal, nonsensical Steve Dean, of all people, far left opinion writer for the Oregon, when you have him just excoriating the Democrats and frankly exposing the truth of what went on with this whole thing of basically sneakily, underhandedly going around the death penalty. Because that's what they've done here. When you have them doing that, and you have Steve Dean going after you, you're influencing the people in the Portland metro area. That's Kate Brown's base. The liberals in Portland is her base. And when you are going after them with another liberal, you're damaging their prospects moving forward. Kate knows this. And I'm going to tell you something. Here's what it is. She's been silent. And remember that story that we did a few days ago about how the Oregon editorial board just raked her over the coals and gave us the words to use to defeat any Democrat involved in this. Remember I talked about that? Because it was about victims. And I guarantee you what's been going on here is that Kate Brown and the Democrats have been polling this. I would be, if I were in their position, that's exactly what I'd be doing. She's been silent because she needed to know how to respond. Okay? It's no more difficult than that. Now, that's a cynical view of this, but it is exactly who Kate Brown is. And the regressive totalitarian Marxists that run the Oregon legislature. You see, what she has done is the quintessential politician move. You know what it is? You put your index finger in your mouth, you wet it, and you put it up in the wind to see which way the wind is blowing. Now, that's exactly what she's done here. I will guarantee you that they have been polling this, focus grouping it maybe, to see how bad this issue is going to hurt the Democrats, how bad it's going to change public opinion, especially when Steve Dean wrote the piece that he did. Now, he's written another piece, folks. You can see it if you go to OregonWatchdog.com. And it's about Jennifer Williams from doubling down on the death penalty law, again by Steve Dean. Now, Steve Dean has it in for Jennifer Williams. I don't know why, but he does. I think that's an appropriate thing for an opinion writer to state their opinion about a politician. My goodness, look at what all these far leftists do with Trump. Good grief. Isn't it interesting when it happens to the left? Well, I'll tell you what's going to happen here, okay? Kate Brown is saying that she supports now the special session to fix the law that they screwed up. Now, here's the question I want to ask for you that I think you should be aware of, that you could use in your conversations with others. Should Republicans just say, no, we're not going to come into a special session? Because, frankly, they don't have to, because they have to provide quorum. Should they just say, as Carl Wilson is quoted in this Oregonian story, again, you can see it if you go to OregonWatchdog.com, as Carl Wilson said, he's the Republican leader in the House, say, no, instead of rushing this, why don't we just repeal it? You know, that's a good idea. So should Republicans hold out and say, you know what, this is a back doorway around the will of the people. This is giving them, Carl Wilson wouldn't say this, but I would. This is the Democrats, the retro Bolsheviks, as Ron calls them, giving the middle finger to us, the voters. Now, I'll tell you, when you start saying things like that, it has an impact, because it brings it home to the most basic level, right? At emotional level. Nobody likes it when your arrogant leaders disregard your will as a voter. Now, how many times have I told you that I have not agreed with some of the things that Oregonians have voted for? But it's the law, and you have to respect it. So, in going forward on this, should Republicans just stand up and bow their backs and say, no, you either repeal this thing or we don't come into special session, and you live with the damage that you know it's going to do to your campaign? Should it be all political, or should it be about good politics? The bottom of the hour, back in a moment. Don't go away.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
24 minutes of the top of the hour. Great to have you with us. A little pop back. A lot of politics with your coffee. So, should Republicans bail out the Democrats here in Oregon? Seriously. They made this mess of going around the will of the voters with their backhanded death penalty nullification law. And they lied about it. We know they lied about it. And Steve Dean has been writing about it, how they lied about it. And now they're trying to save face because they know they've been polling it. I'm telling you, folks, listen to me. I know what I'm talking about here. They've been polling it to see how bad this is going to hurt them in the upcoming elections. And it's a deal breaker. It's as bad as taking away your kicker, which is the other thing we're talking about today. See, you're gonna get a record amount of money back. So here's how you can use the kicker argument to talk about wasteful government spending and PERS reform. Ooh, I know that's bad for some of you because some of you are in PERS. I get it. I understand. PERS is unsustainable, folks, as it is. Now, here's how you can talk about it. Just ask somebody in your sphere of influence, because that's what the show's about, right? It's about you being able to persuade other people, especially about the political issues to the day that are impacting their lives. Well, if you pay taxes in Oregon, you're going to get a refund. So whose money is it? That's the question to ask. If you get into a conversation about the news out there that it's a record kicker, $1.6 billion, going to come back to the Oregon taxpayers. Whose money is it? Is it your money? Do you lose control over it? Do you lose ownership of that money if you pay it in taxes? On principle. Now, just forget the law. Okay, you know, federal law says that you get a tax refund just based on things you do, right? State law, state constitution says the same thing, just in a different way. He says if government overcollects money, more money than what they've budgeted, they said they needed, that amount of money comes back to you. And it depends on how much you pay in. Stands to reason, right? If I pay in on a lot more than you do, we're all going to get the same rate back. I just get more money. Why? Because I paid in more. This is not rocket science, but apparently to some people it is, especially our leaders who are salivating out of the sides of their mouth. Again, so many of our retro-Bolshevik leaders are just Pavlov's dog. And I can guarantee you that they are after your tax kicker. Now, here, let me tell you what's going on here, okay? The money belongs to you. And that's how you need to talk about it. It's how you need to think about it. This is your money. Did government create this money that you gave them through the force of law? No, you did. And you did it because you worked for it. It's yours. You own it. Now, in many ways, this is an issue that everybody gets. None of us like losing our money. Now, I was talking to a particular politician yesterday, a local county politician. I won't name this person, but this is someone I've had great experience with and great respect for a very, very long time. And this person is really torn, because this person said to me yesterday that if this person retires now, they get an extra 20%. If they wait for retirement, because they actually love their job and they've been in this job a long time, they absolutely love what they do. The changes in PERS, they might lose 20%. Now, it's a powerful motivator, and it really is causing a conflict with this particular person. I get that. I understand that. But the reality is, folks, we all care about our money because we earned it. We consider it ours. Your retirement is considered to be yours. Whether it's a 401k, it doesn't matter. Okay, whether your employer matches, puts money into it, or the state or the county, whatever, school district, doesn't matter. It's yours. You consider it yours. And you get really upset when somebody says they're going to take it away from you. Democrats know this. This is why my prediction to you is that the Democrats will not touch the kicker issue, even though it's $1.6 billion. It's a lot of money. And they're just salivating over that money. They want it so bad because they got to keep part of the PERS Ponzi scheme. They got to keep backfilling PERS. Now, I will tell you that the amount of money in the public sector that PERS is contributing. Yesterday, the ORCA school board, Oregon Connections Academy, which I am the founder of that school, I'm president of the school board, have been for a long time since we started that school in 2005. We're the largest single public school in the state. I'm not kidding. We're an online public charter school. We finished last year with 4,500 students. We have 200 employees. Yesterday, we're going over budget numbers. You know what? For every dollar we spend in paying a wage to our teachers, our administrative staff, whatever, for every dollar, it costs us an additional 53 cents. And the bulk of that is PERS. And we are a relatively new, I mean, we don't have a lot of 30-year teachers that have been in the PERS system for 30 years. We have a few. And we're blessed and thankful to have them in our school because they're really good at what they do. Our PERS rate is not as high as other school districts. I bet you Salem, Kaiser, and Portland Public Schools, and Albany School District, Lebanon, so many of these school districts have some teachers who've been there a very long time and have retired. Those teachers, those tier one, tier two, are the ones who drive up those individual school districts' PERS rate and drive it up huge. My point to you is that with the kicker, with Democrats in control, PERS reform is never going to happen. The most they're ever going to do is what they've just done, kicking the can down the road. And they're being sued for that. Now, there's something else that I want to share with you that I think is important, but I want you to give me your opinion. Do you think Democrats will dare to be so brazen, so bold, that they would dare to try to touch the kicker in the February session in 2020? Because they still could. They still could write a law that says, no, we're going to go put it in the rainy day fund for children. I mean, it's okay if it's for the children, right? If it's for education. I mean, we can put in place a sales tax. Call it something else, but call it a sales tax. We can put in place a sales tax because it's for the children. So I sound a little cynical. I'm sorry if I do. But it is what it is. It's the truth. 503-589-1220. You tell me what you think they will do. And if you're going to have conversations with people about this incredible blessing that the kicker refund is, and you know what's lost on all of this? Is that everybody's focus, like mine is, sadly, that we expect, and if you read so many of the reader comments in this Oregonian story about this, you will see exactly what I mean. We expect the politicians to steal it from us. But instead, we should be celebrating the fact that Oregon's economy is doing really well. The people are employed and people have huge wage growth. Even then, Mike Rogaway, who is the reporter who reported this, is a pretty good reporter. And I don't know if he wrote this. I think he did, because I think he's attributed to this one chart here in this Oregonian story. Here's what's interesting about this. It's about Oregon's annual wage growth. It shows it from, 2015 and then really taking off and exploding in 2016 up to a high of 2017 as a percentage of growing at 5% a year. That's huge. And then dipping down to only 2.5% in late 2018, but in 2019 here, exploding back up to 3.5% wage growth. Here's what he says that I don't get. He says wage gains have remained strong despite a slowdown in hiring. Now, just stop and think about that for a moment. That's a stunning either misstatement or just a lack of understanding of basic economics. You would expect wage growth to not only remain strong, but to go back up, as the chart shows it is. Why? Because there's a slowdown in hiring. If there's a slowdown in hiring, it means what? It means good news for you. Why? Well, it's pretty simple. It's the law of supply and demand. And it works with labor. If there's a least supply of labor, employers have to pay more to get you to come work for them, especially if you're good at what you do. That's why wage growth remains strong. It's a stunning statement for Mike Rogoway to say it remains strong despite a slowdown in hiring. Slowdown in hiring is the reason it remains strong. That's what he should have said. Stunning lack of economic understanding. So tell me what you think. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Do you think the Democrats will be brazen and try to steal the kicker in February 2020 in the short session? Or are they smart enough to leave it alone because they know it's a game changer in the 2020 elections? This segment of the show has been brought to you by our friends at Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care. If you haven't tried CBD oil, you need to. It helps you in ways you can't even imagine. Every day I talk to people that are being helped by it. I did yesterday with some folks at the Orca Board meeting. 6:48. Back in a moment. Go see the folks at Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care. South Commercial. What's the same? Back in.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Stop the car. 10 minutes to the top of the hour. Great to have you back with us, friends. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Should Republicans not bail the Democrats out of this death penalty go-around nullification law that is blown up in their face? What should Republicans do, or should they be responsible and provide a quorum so that the governor can have a special session? What do you think? What do you think ought to be done here? Shoot me an email, by the way, to jeff@1220.am, and I'll do my darnest to read it on the air in the next few minutes as we go along. And also the kicker, is that your money? When you're having conversations with people, is that an effective way that you can begin a conversation, that you can be persuasive? Say, whose money is that? You know, we're going to get a big kicker back, but some of the politicians, big spending politicians in Salem, who never seem to have enough money, well, they want to take it. So whose money is it? Is it ours or is it theirs? It's a great way to start a conversation and to begin that process of thinking, getting people to actually think and not just react, but to think about it in a deeper way. And that's how you move people, friends. It's very important. Two important things we're talking about today. Also, I promised you a little bit about Trump planning to move ahead rapidly now on building the southern border wall and how that will impact Oregon. But I want to remind you first, you know, nobody wants to think about life insurance, but you need to. You should. It's a negative. I know. I get it. But it really should be a positive. Nobody wants to think about death. You don't want to go out and buy a burial plot, but you should. Because you're not going to live forever. And sometimes life happens and the unexpected happens. That's why you have life insurance. Because by doing that, by being responsible, you end up making sure that your family's taken care of. That all the things you've worked hard for wouldn't be lost because there's no life insurance. So you know what? You should sit down and talk to my friend Fred Thompson. Because, you know, he offers many different life insurance products, something unique and different that can fit your need of life. It's the right thing to do. It's the responsible thing to do. And he's the right guy to talk to, the right person. Why don't you call him? 503-428-7479. 503-428-7479. Now, something to think about here. is, you know, the president, one of his main issues, as you know, and will continue to be, and it's going to be a big issue here in Oregon, and for the obvious reason. One of his big issues was not only illegal immigration, but building the wall. Building the wall because it's necessary to stop people from coming into our country illegally. It's necessary to stop the illegal flow of a lot of drugs, including that fentanyl stuff. But even more importantly, it also stops terrorists. Because there are those people that have come across that southern border. People from all over the world are coming across that southern border. The statistics are there. It's impossible to ignore. Need the wall. Central theme of Trump in his campaign. The story today is a story that I saw on Drudge Report. And it's, well, actually I saw it on Hot Air. Trump on the Border Wall, it's entitled, Ramming Speed. So the story today, now, first of all, you got to be very suspect of who's reporting this. Who's reporting it? The Washington Post. Not exactly a Trump-loving group. He's eager to complete, they write, hundreds of miles of border fence ahead of the 2020 presidential election, and he's directed aides to fast-track billions of dollars worth of construction contracts, aggressively seize private land, and disregard environmental rules. And even worse, and the whole sexiness of this story is that when he was told that some of that might be illegal, well, he'll just pardon people who do it. Oh, come on. Really? The White House says, you know, Trump was just joking about that. But Ed Morrissey of Hot Air, and Ed Morrissey's a great conservative writer, he said, well, maybe he is. And he makes an important point. He said, if you work for Trump and sat in on meetings where he wanted to push the limits of executive power, would you take those comments about pardons as a joke or as an incentive? And he brings up the fact that the House has stoked the subpoena machine looking for impeachable offenses. Look at the people that they've called in front of them, and every staffer that they've called in front of them has to hire a lawyer. That's expensive. And those are not people who have a lot of money, those staff. My point is that if, in fact, and by the way, did you see this? He has saved money. The Army, the Pentagon, the Army Corps of Engineers has saved enough money that they authorized an additional 20 miles of border wall because they brought it in under budget. The reality is that Trump is making progress, irrespective of what Ann Coulter says. But here's the conundrum. If he rams this through and gets the wall built before the election, it's not an issue he can use, right? Not an issue Republicans can use if they're smart enough to use it, especially here in Oregon. This is the reality. I don't think he's going to get it done because Republicans don't want him to get it done. And certainly the left, which is trying to stymie him at every level. But I'll tell you this. This is an issue we can use in Oregon. Oregonians for Immigration Reform has announced, came out yesterday, that they filed an initiative, not a repeal, because they put an emergency clause on that illegal alien driver's license law. They have filed an initiative to overturn it by initiative petition. Now, that's a whole process that's going to play out in the courts, and they'll fight over the ballot title. But if they get the signatures, we get to vote on that in 2020. Trump is going to keep this issue of illegal immigration front and center. Believe me, he is. And the wall is a piece of that. And it impacts us in Oregon. If Republicans are not scared of their own shadow and afraid of being called racist, because they use the issue of illegal immigration as a campaign issue. We'll see. We'll see if Republicans in this state have any courage. I think they should. And if they're smart, they'll be polling the issue, especially giving illegal aliens driver's licenses, and the Democrats, the politicians, overturning the will of the people once again. People don't like it, nor should they. Thanks for joining us today, friends. We'll be back tomorrow, and I hope you will be too. Tomorrow's Freedom Friday. You can call and talk about anything you want to talk about politically. See you then, Frakes. Make it a great day.